Hello, it's good to have you join us this morning. It's good to share this time with some of our musicians here at Grace and share that time with you in singing. I want to start by reading a passage from Titus chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. It says, "When the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us, not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life." I'm so thankful for that goodness and loving kindness of our God and the hope of eternal life that we share as believers. I'm going to start with a song this morning that we haven't sung in quite a while, but it encouraged my heart and ministered to me this week, and I hope that as we share it with you, we'll do that with you as well. God is good all the time.
God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good. Shadows all around. Do not fear, he will guide you, he will keep you safe and sound. He has promised to never leave you or forsake you, and his word is true. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good. Shine, God is good. God is good all the time. And we were sinners, so unworthy. Still for us he chose to die. And filled him with his Holy Spirit, now we can stand and testify that his love is everlasting. And his mercies, they will never end. God is good all the time. He put a song of praise in this heart of mine. God is good all the time. And through the darkest night, his light will shine. God is good. God is good all the time. touch the Spirit there. Stay upon Jehovah. Hearts are fully blessed, finding as He promised perfect peace and rest. Stay upon Jehovah. Stay upon Jehovah.
Good.
All your ways are good, all your ways are sure, and I will trust in you alone. Higher than my sight, high above my life, I will trust in you alone, in you alone. And where you go, I'll go, and where you stay, I'll stay. I will follow you, and who you love, I love, and how you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. Light into the world, light into my life, and I will live for you. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow you. In you there's life everlasting. In you there's freedom for my soul. In you there's joy, unending joy. Unending joy, and I will follow. And where you go, I'll go. And where you stay, I'll stay. And when you move, I'll move. I will follow you. Who you love, I'll love. How you serve, I'll serve. If this life I lose, I will follow you. I will follow.
Good morning and welcome, and again we welcome you to an opportunity for us to take a look at God's Word, to have been encouraged by the music that was led by Fred and those working with him, and we are also excited about the prospect that this venue here is going to soon be something that will be done more in a setting where there will truly be people in front of me that are watching from a setting as part of a congregation. And we'll be talking a little bit more about that later on in this morning's thought to you here today. I want you to go back with me to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 11, and we're going to be picking up again another one of the examples of faith that the writer of Hebrews gives to this group of believers who are struggling. I think about the situation of life that they are in, and we talked a little bit about this last time. And for the last few weeks, as we've been in this passage in Hebrews chapter 11, we've looked at two characters already. We've talked about the exercise of faith that Abel presented, and his faith, his demonstration of that faith in God's plan and as he brought his sacrifice, and we talked a little bit about that. And then also last time we talked about the fellowship of faith in the life of Enoch, a man who was and yet God took him. It's an expression of how Enoch was walking by faith and he was there in fellowship with God. And then one day God decided to bring him home and he never saw death. And so he gives to us some great reminders. And that's what we've been looking at up to this point. We're going to go to now this morning to the idea of one life, a person's life. And really, as we think about these individuals, the writer of Hebrews is pulling them out of the history. He's pulling them out of the context of their situation of life, their circumstances. And he's using each one of these characters as a reinforcement towards something that he's been driving at. And I want to pick up again with this recording of these different clouds of witnesses, these different individuals who are situated here and are presenting their life of faith, the testimony of their life. And today I'd like to be thinking about the work of faith as found in the life of Noah. As you go to Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, and I hope that you'll take the opportunity to read here with me. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, it says, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, in reverence prepared an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." Let's have it a prayer and let's get into this life of Noah and thinking about the work of faith that Noah portrayed. Father, I pray as we open your word here now, as we take a look at a very significant character in the history of our humanity, the history that Scripture records, a life that was lived, a person who truly existed. This is more than just an ornamentation on a nursery wall. Lord, this is not just about a story of a man inside of a watery boat, but Lord, we find that there are records for us here a person who gives much of hope, much of a life of purpose, a demonstration of how he was given a task and he fulfilled it without a whole lot of information to go on. And Lord, I pray that you'll use his life in our testimony today. I pray that we would compare and think about and take the reference to heart as we think about what this man's life truly could mean even for us today. And it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. The work of faith. Noah and his situation of life does equate to our personal situations of life, our spiritual surroundings, our obstacles, the things that we are oftentimes confronted with even in our own situation, the hindrances that sometimes we can come up against. When you think about the situation of Noah's life and compare it to our own, and we think about what we are facing that would cause us to question our ability to do what God has asked us to do, to think about what the Bible calls us to come to a life of faith, to believe that if I will just simply trust God, what could be accomplished in a life that was surrendered in that kind of a faith? What has God called us to do with our lives? Now we call for the question, and is how are we to actively work out our faith? How do we work our faith? And there are some things that are present within the story of Noah and in the accounting here in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 that really, I think, helps us in our quest to work out our faith. And I'm not talking about here a faith that earns my salvation, but it's more of the expression, it's more of the fellowship. As I claim to have a faith in God, what does it do? Because I hold God to be my God, and he has given to me a purpose for life, what is it that my calling of life is going to look like? And so we're talking about our faith, and how is that worked out? How is that fleshed out and seen? And what I want to do is I want to look at the use of our faculties. I'm going to give some of analogous ways that we could think about how Noah and many of the other ones, we could say some of the same things about even Enoch and Abel, but we could definitely say things about the man of Moses and Abraham and all these others that are going to come. And that's the thing is that faith is really not necessarily being singled out as something unique in each one of these people's lives, but it's because of the way that the story presents them, something about their faith stands out. And I don't think you can come to the life of Noah without putting a hammer in his hand, a saw in the other one, or maybe even you'd have to pull out some sort of a device that he would use to pitch and tar the inside of a boat, and to think about the years of his life spent doing one simple task: save humanity. And this is what God gave him to do. What has God given us to do? And how do we work out our faith in the ways that God has asked us to live our faith? I want to give you six things. Are you ready? Now, usually when a Baptist preacher says, "I got 6 points," we know that's at least 2 hours, but I guarantee it won't be. We won't belabor on each one for a very long period of time, but there are 6 points that I want to use, almost in some ways to say that the six senses, the six faculties that I want to say as we go through and we think about our life and how we work out our faith. So let's get ready. Point number one is this. When we talk about our faith, it requires the use of all of our faculties. So number one, I want you to think about that God says that we need to have an ear ready to hear God's voice. You know, part of the struggle of many times understanding what I am supposed to be doing is that we're listening to the wrong voices. It reminds me of the passage that's found in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1, where John writes and he says, "Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world." He's really encouraging us in that passage to be reminded of the fact that we can hear all kinds of voices, and there are many distractions that want to clamor for our attention. But the question is how did Noah know that he was listening to the right voice? Well, in the chapters that are told of the story, if you were to go, and we're not going to take the time, I'm going to be reading some segments, but in Genesis chapter 6, 7, and 8, you find this whole recording of the life of Noah. And in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 13, it is written that, "Then God said to Noah, 'The end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence, and because of them, and behold, I am about to destroy them with the earth.'" You see, during our lives, we too are surrounded, and we are in many ways encompassed with loud, boisterous noises that want to drown out the voice of God. The clear voice of God can be heard, and the Spirit of God can be resounding in our lives, but so many times we're listening to the wrong voices. We have a decision to make and a choice to follow as to which one of the voices we're going to listen to, that we will allow either the crowd out of all of the others that are seeking to pull our attention in their direction, but which way are we going? I'm reminded of the passage in John chapter 10 and verse 27 where Christ reminds them. He says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." Whose voice are you hearing? When you're thinking about your direction of life and the purpose of life, do you have an ear that's ready to hear the voice of God? And that is what we learn from the Word of God. I've had people come to me and says, "You know, God has spoken to me and he has sent this situation or this dream I had, or, you know, I believe that the Spirit of God is speaking directly to me." And I always say, "Okay, but where do you find in Scripture to reinforce what you believe that this Spirit or this person or this voice is telling you?" Because the Spirit of God will never contradict his own word. So many times, though, too, what I find is that there are Christians who are struggling to understand their purpose for life, but when I get into how much time have they spent reading God's Word, how much time have you sought to get counsel from God's Word, you find that they're very anemic and they're listening to the voice of God. If God has given to us a purpose for life, we need to be ones who are listening and we have an ear to hear God's voice. But second of all, when we want to think about our work of faith, not only do we understand it as listening to God's voice, ready to hear God's voice, but second of all, we need to have a mind willing to obey God's commands. Stop and think about the life of Noah. And thinking about what God has asked him to do, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14, he gives him this command: "Make for yourself an ark of gopher wood. You shall make the ark with rooms and shall cover it inside and out with pitch." So what's the struggle here? Well, think about it. Up to this point, who has ever seen an ark? So here's a real question. Who's ever built an ark? Who has ever seen a flood? Who then knew that they would need an ark to escape a flood? No one. Not even Noah. And so here comes the rational argument. If you have never seen it, never heard of it, don't know if it is a real threat or not, then it must not be a possibility. But God has said, okay, so I'm listening. God has spoken. But am I willing now to obey what God has told me to do? Build an ark. And here's what you must do. As he thinks about it in that verse, in verse 13, which is before that verse we just read, I am about to destroy them on the earth. I'm about to take every human life, and I'm going to bring judgment upon this earth. Noah, I need you to save humanity. I'm going to do it through you. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to build an ark. Now, I know you've never seen one. You don't even know what that is, but let me explain it to you. There's going to come a flood. I know you've never seen a flood, and I know you don't know what that is, but what I'm telling you is you need the ark to escape the flood. Will you do what I ask you to do? Now, do you understand how much faith had to be in Noah's heart to trust God to do what God is asking him to do? Can Noah take God at his word, or will his mind get in the way of following the voice's command? This voice has spoken. This God has spoken to me. Will my mind, my rational mind, get in the way of following after God? You see, faith requires that we take God at His word and act upon the revelation that He gives to us. And that is important to follow, even if it runs contrary to human reasoning. In Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did. It's interesting because they accused Jesus of himself being insane. In John chapter 10 and verse 20, many of them were saying, he has a demon and is insane. Why do you listen to him? Even the apostle Paul was accused of being nearly mad in Acts 26 and verse 24. And while Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad. Missionaries have been told they're bordering on insanity to go into places like China, Hudson Taylor, to India, William Carey. I know of a good friend of mine who goes into Uzbekistan and Kazakhstan and tries to even get into Afghanistan. And then there are others that we know of that are serving in Iran. And if you were to think about it in a rational mindset, how it's unsafe to hold to a certain viewpoint and to go into parts of the world where your faith, just because you hold to this, could cost you your very life. How sane is that? And sometimes the mind part of this gets in the way, and we're not willing to obey the command of God because we dwell too much upon what my mind is saying instead of trusting in God. Even in the little things, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. But you don't know what they've done. See, I know what they've done. And so many times we let the rational side of our mind discount and place aside the command that God has given to us. And then we wonder why we're struggling to find joy and contentment in our life. The question of faith is, whose voice are you following? And will you let your human reasoning stand between obeying the clear command of God or playing it safe or appearing to remain sane? Third, you need to have a hand that is ready to do God's will. Who else was with Noah in this venture? Now, we could take into account his immediate family. Yes, they were there, but was there anyone else that was helping Noah build that ark? Now, some would venture to say that maybe Noah hired individuals, and it's very possible, it's very true. I'm sure there were people that were very willing to take Noah's money and help him build something and then turn around and laugh at him because they thought it was a foolish venture. But who is really in it because of their faith in God? And by all accounts, what we find, it's really just Noah. You know, it's interesting because we never really hear of the faith of his children. We never really hear of the faith of his wife. But outside of his immediate family, it was just Noah, the madman, building a boat for a, what's that word? Flood. But Noah had a hand that was ready to do what God had asked him to do. You may be the only Christian in your family, the only believer in your office, the only one on your crew at the factory or in your class at school. And Noah was the only believer outside of his immediate family. And I wonder just how difficult it had been to convince even his family of the reality of God's voice and his command. Believers in God have always been in the minority. And we struggle with that in our so-called Christian nation. We're used to our religious freedoms, and we're used to our religious influence as if they are something that we don't want to ever see denigrated. But because of the foundations of our country, we still believe ourselves to be a Christian nation. But it's the farthest thing from the truth. We are in the minority. In this case, it should not surprise us. So what is to be our response when the devil comes and he tries to suggest that we should just cower and remain obscure in our faith? What should we be doing with our faith, even if it is being ridiculed? And we are accused of being fools and ignorant and religious nuts. Will the work stop? Will the work of God be silenced? Or will you and I continue to go on living, as one person put it, and working for the Lord, even though we appear to be the only ones in our sphere who are doing so? Matthew chapter 11, verses 1 through 6. When Jesus had finished giving instructions to his 12 disciples, he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. Now when John, while in prison, heard of the works of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the expected one, or shall we look for someone else?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Go and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who does not take offense at me." I hope that our hearts understand the power of faith when it is at work, when we have an ear that is ready to hear God's voice, and we have a mind that is willing to obey God's command, and we have a hand that is ready to do God's will. But then to think, number four, that God also asks us to have a foot that's ready to walk in God's work. Do you think Noah never thought about giving up? I don't know. I've thought about this a lot, and to think about, here is a man that for over 100 years plus spent and dedicated his life to doing one task. And the neat thing about his task is that he was able to see it come to fruition. I mean, that is something that he had the benefit of. He could actually watch a structure being built. But at the same time, every day he woke up and he walked out of his house and he walked down that path and into that plain or wherever he was building his ark. And he stood there and he looked at it, and all around him, nothing had changed. Life had not changed. Circumstances hadn't changed. There wasn't anything different about his environment. The waters were nowhere near or closer. And he doesn't even understand, but yet every day he picked up a hammer and a saw and whatever tools he had, and he went to work. I can only imagine the taunts that were coming from those who were thinking that he was crazy, that must have just been consistent and biting over the years. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 19, "Therefore those also who suffer according to the will of God shall entrust their souls to a faithful Creator in doing what is right." But it's not just about the negative. Our feet are set forth into the steps of God's design. Psalm 37, verse 23, "The steps of a man are established by the Lord, and he delights in his way." I hope that our faith is active and following after Christ, that we do what he asks, and that we set before us the journey, the path, and that the beautiful thing that we have as New Testament believers, and that's exactly what this writer of Hebrews is pointing them to, is you know, you're thinking about everything that God has been preparing, and that you are setting forth something in action, and yet we have Jesus Christ. And little did Noah know how much he was setting forth an example that the rest of the story of redemption would actually keep coming back to. He didn't know that. And yet he day by day set his path to the task. And he went out to do the work that God had asked him to do. Number 5, to have a mouth that is ready to proclaim God's message. And this is really what's interesting about this story in Hebrews chapter 11. As he talks about a message, there was something that he proclaimed. And really, it's a testimony, this expression. And if you really could boil down the message that Noah preached, he had basically two parts to it. Salvation to all who enter and condemnation to all who don't. In Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7, he says that he, by his message and by his life, by him doing this, by this he condemned the world. Another way you could say that is he left them without excuse. It wasn't like Noah built this overnight and then asked the entire part of his humanity around him to enter into a boat. But day by day he is reinforcing, there is something coming. I'm building something. You need to get on here with me. God has said, and day by day he is proclaiming a message of salvation. There it is. It's being built. It's being prepared. That's your salvation. If you don't get on, you're going to be condemned. Ha, 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 ha. But day by day it was his message. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 20, Paul reminds us there that we are too ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. We are to be the mouthpieces of God, which proclaims to the world that God has come to save. And he offers a life that's worth living. We have the Great Commission to fulfill. We go, we live, we proclaim, we bear the witness, we share the truth, the one of who is called truth, our Savior and our Redeemer. But then that leads me to the last point, number 6, and that is that we need to have an eye that's ready to see God's reward. And there's a little statement inside of Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 7 where he says that it's the saving of his household. What are we working for? You see, Noah did this to save his house from physical calamity. This ark also represented the salvation of the entire human race and a judgment against the sin of the people in Noah's day. The ark became God's grand illustration for the world to realize that judgment is something that he is capable of, and yet he is not longing to fulfill it, not to perform it. He offered escape. He offered deliverance to anyone who would just simply realize his plan of escape and get on board. And God set forth the plan, and by that plan could come salvation. And now today, that is Jesus Christ. It is the idea of the picture that when we are baptized into Christ, because water was a picture of judgment, it was a picture of overwhelming wrath. The water became the illustration of God's wrath upon the humanity of sinners. And Jesus Christ in his death endured our wrath. And so we are buried in his likeness. We are brought into likeness with Jesus Christ. And we are then sharing with Christ the hope of his death. And what does his death produce? It produces life because he rescues us. And we then move into eternity because we are in Jesus Christ. Christ becomes our ark. He becomes our salvation. And we can endure the wrath of God. This time, it's more than just physical. It means eternal life or it means eternal death. And unlike Noah, who had to get off the boat and start over, we step off of this world into heaven. And that is really when life begins and we see our final reward. Faith becomes sight. It's tied to our work, is the ability to see the reward that we will one day see and make sure that we are seeking to alert others to the joy that they too can have. That is the responsibility now that he has left the church to do. Go, share this good news. Be witnesses to me. Go out there, make disciples, and let them keep telling others of the good news that in Jesus Christ there is hope. And we become the Noahs of our day. We become the mouthpieces, the expressions. Get on board. Get into Christ. He will save you if you'll just believe. And so we conduct our life. And so many times we get tied to the idea that work is building buildings and having great legacies and all these things around us. But in reality, it is the plan of salvation. Faith is the joy that we see when others come to know Christ, because we're seeing that faith come to fruition in their life too. All through the book of Hebrews, in the chapter of Hebrews 11 specifically, the author speaks of the limited sight that these early believers possessed, and yet how they were rewarded, and that reward motivated them. And for Noah's time, it was the reward of saving his family, saving his household. How much greater is our understanding? And I think it should motivate our hearts to labor in this here and now. Noah knew he had a job too. And his faith in God motivated him. It convinced him. And it helped him to stay focused. And until that job was done. And then even for 7 more days, God moved Noah's family onto that ark. He left that door wide open. All the animals are coming and getting on board. And I can't imagine how that scene must have played out inside of that community of Noah's day, watching all of these animals come and get on this big boat. And then the rains start. And the door is closed. And the time of salvation, the hope of salvation, has come to an end. And condemnation comes. In the end, he and his family were glad that he had remained faithful. And the truth of the matter is, will we find that our reward is going to be just as satisfying? Will we too look forward to what God has in store for us? Thinking about our labor, our approval here upon this earth, it's not for the work of our salvation. That is something that is now working out through us. This is not about us being able to gain more favor with God and earn God's favor in any other way, but we're working that faith out. We're letting it be portrayed, and that means he is changing us day by day into the person of Jesus Christ so that others may see him and not us. I always say, anytime you see Adam Love, you see a failure. When you see Christ in me, you see the hope of life. Have an ear that is ready to hear God's voice, a mind willing to obey God's command, a hand that is ready to do God's will, a heart, a foot ready to walk in God's work, and a mouth ready to proclaim God's message, and then one day an eye that is ready to see God's reward. And I'll tell you, the more I spend time on this earth, the more I just look forward to seeing him in eternity. Our whole being is invested to the work that God is doing, our ability to trust our God and then work the work that he has handed us is tied to our faith in him and who he is. That's why you need to be in his word and falling more and more in love with him each and every day and living him out in every expression of our lives day by day so that the work of our faith is evident. It's seen. Him, He is seen in us. Keep your hand to the plow. Trust in the direction that the Lord has set you on. And do the work of faith. Father, I pray as we think about the course of our life and the path that we are on, this journey, this place that we find ourselves, I pray, Lord, that you will help us to be faithful to the task. Lord, of being your witnesses, bearing forth your truth, declaring your glory in everything that we do, that is our work, that is our task, that is what is at hand in our life. And so many times we get into the trivial matters and we pursue things that don't last for eternity and we get hung up on these things. Shame on us. Lord, it's for your glory that we exist. It is because of the faith that we have found to be so life-changing, Lord, that we can now share that life with other people. Lord, may we be radically transformed because you're renewing us day by day into your person. So speak to our hearts and may you truly be the focal point of our existence. And it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.
Church, arise.
Oh, church, arise and put your armor on. Hear the call of Christ our captain. For now the weak can say that they are strong in the strength that God has given. With shield of faith and belt of truth, we'll stand against the devil's lies. An army bold whose battle cry is love, reaching out to those in darkness. Our call to war, to love the captive soul, rage against the captor, and with the sword that makes the wounded whole, we will fight with faith and valor. When faced with trials on every side, we know the outcome is secure, and Christ will have the price for which he died, an inheritance of nations. So Spirit, come, put strength in every stride, give grace for every hurdle, that we may run with faith to win the prize of a servant good and faithful. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of His grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory. As saints of old still line the way, retelling triumphs of His grace, we hear their calls and hunger for the day when with Christ we stand in glory.
Welcome back, and again, we want to continue with these updates as we have opportunity on this platform to be able to do that. I want to kind of remind you of a few things that are up and coming, and you will have heard a lot of this already as we've kind of pre-announced this. Some, depending on when you watch this setting, we will have, Lord willing, been able to be on our campus some on this Sunday, the 24th. But I, again, just want to refresh you that it is our desire to be anticipating a time when we're going to actually be back together as a church and giving us opportunity to do that. Next Sunday, the 31st, we are going to be doing another recorded message, but there is not going to be an opportunity for us to get together in fellowship. The place that we were hoping to use is not available, and so that has limited our ability to really control a place that we could all come and fellowship and be together. But on June the 7th, and that is the first Sunday in June, we are excited to be able to start the process of actually uniting together in person and coming together for a time of singing and the ministry of God's Word through the preaching, and then also in fellowship. And we'll be doing that in an environment where we would say it's a church atmosphere. We're excited to be able to use Chattanooga First Church off of Stanford Gap, and that information is going to be on our Facebook page, and we'll be also on our website. We'll be putting that out to let you know where our new temporary location will be, and for however long, we're still working on all of that. We have a lot of different ministries that we know are excited to get back into function, and as we move through the next few weeks together, we're hoping to be able to get more and more of those ministries together with us on a very regular basis. Now, in light of that, we just want to encourage you to be thinking about your questions and things of this nature and different things that are coming up. And so June the 7th, we're going to have a time together of a service. And we'll be doing just a little bit like what we had here this morning. And then after that, we're going to take a little bit of a break, and then we're going to come back again and just have a time of question and answer. I will have hoped that today, if the weather has allowed us to, that we'll be allowed to do that and spend some time answering some questions. But I know that some of you are not going to be able to be present on this Sunday. And so we'll be doing that again on June the 7th. We'll go back through a lot of the information. And there's a hope in my heart that we will have a whole lot more to share. I want to also let you know that starting this next week here, and that's on this Monday, really Labor Day Monday, the site, our campus, is going to be starting to be under the control of the general contractor, Tyson Construction, and they are going to be working on our project all the way from beginning to end, Lord willing. So what that means then is that, again, the property is going to really become really a construction site, very limited access. Limited opportunities to get there. And the fact of the matter is, also starting this week, probably on Wednesday, many of our buildings are going to go through the process of demolition. Now, by now, most of you have received an email. You have seen perhaps even the Facebook update to let you know the letter that we sent out, and trying to communicate with you to make sure you understand what that all means. There are some things that perhaps are very hard to understand and appreciate, especially regarding the auditorium. I know some have had a real hard time thinking that that building too is going to have to come down. But let me just assure you that that was not done quickly. It was not done through an attempt to maybe do something just because of the newness of the venture. But there were some very strategic and very important parts that went into that decision. And those are things that we want to talk about. If you have further questions regarding that, we want to do that, Lord willing, today in our gathering, if we're able to, and then also on June the 7th. As we get into the demolition phase, that means then that our site is going to become more and more bare. But what that does mean then is that we kind of get an opportunity to go back and put a thought to the flow and the use of this campus to really better enhance and better facilitate many of the ministries, and really the thought of expanding our ministry reach as we move forward. There's going to be opportunities to see things and visualize things. And again, not everybody is going to always appreciate right away or think about things in a new way, because we want to hold on to the memories in the past. But at the same time, just like we talked about with the life of Noah, sometimes God calls us to do things that are hard and difficult. And though they're hard and difficult, doesn't make them wrong. It just makes them then a point where we have to trust that God is leading us, and we're going to follow him because we're going to listen to his voice. I encourage you to continue to pray. I hope that you'll continue to ask questions. Some have sent in some great comments and some follow-up to even the letter that we sent. Our hope is to be able to respond to you as we have opportunity, but there's been just an overwhelming now. We've lurched ahead again, and this next week is going to be a very quick movement as we make major progress on the future of our campus. I just want you to also know that we don't take lightly the significance of what the venture looks like as we continue to firm up our insurance point of view. We continue to firm up other opportunities that, Lord willing, we will have before us, whether it be through outside funding or any of these things. And so we just thank the Lord for the way that he has continued to lead up to this point. Well, I encourage you to continue to giving. One thing I'd like to just remind you about is our missions giving. We're a little bit down in our ability to say that we're on track for this year's budget in our missions giving, and appreciate the faithfulness in our tithes. We appreciate the faithfulness even in our benevolence giving. But the one area that I'd really like for you to pray about is the missions giving of our church. We want to continue to be faithful in reaching and supporting and encouraging missions. And even through this period, I've been also knowing that some of our missionaries are incurring different expenses because they're not being able to get out. And some that are on deputation, some others are not being able to raise support and be in mission opportunities, even as they're stuck in homes and not able to get out and get meetings. So be thinking about that, praying about that, and encourage you to consider giving a little extra, if you're able to, towards the mission program. We look forward to seeing you soon. Again, our recordings will happen from next Sunday, the 31st, but then on June the 7th, we will be recording or possibly doing live stream. We're getting that figured out at this time. But there will be a message that will be given out on June the 7th. And from that point on, Lord willing, if technology is allowed, we're going to make sure that we keep getting that out. So those of you who are still uncomfortable with coming out and being there, that'll be available to you. Again, we love you. We appreciate you. Many of you have sent gracious words and very supportive, and I appreciate that. And I know that many in our staff have received the same. And again, we just hope that God will encourage us and keep walking with us through this venture. And we're excited to see what the Lord is going to do. God bless.